of where we traveled so far, and then we'll be on Roman numeral 3, the method of being a living sacrifice. Let's go over to Titus 2:12, and as we're going over there, Titus 2:12, Dr. Bruner, give us a quick word on the ministry that's going on there in California, what God has you doing there. I know that they had talked about you doing some teaching down there. Now, is there a large Spanish-speaking population in the area, really? Okay. Are a lot of men in the church now?
I mean, they have their own separate service, so I actually don't want a lot of people in Spanish because they happen simultaneously. It's like they're in one building or another.
Okay.
I mean, I know the Spanish pastor in his life, but I don't know many of the people that go to Spanish ministries because they're theirs and I'm in a different one.
And they're probably speaking Spanish and you're speaking English. Amen. Yeah, we had a guy yesterday on door hanging and I got a chance to talk to him. And I mean, he was just very agreeable to everything that I was saying. And I said, are you sure about heaven? No, I don't know. I said, can I show? Yeah, I want to see it. And showed him everything about heaven. And after I got done, I said, well, don't you want to? He said, I don't understand English good. I thought, after that long spiel, you don't understand English. Oh, okay, so I got to get somebody to go back there. Amen. But I thought it was going good, too. I was like, yeah, we're getting somewhere here. Yeah. You want to get saved? I don't speak English. I was like, okay, let's get someone else. Amen. All right, Titus 2:12. Let's say the reference there, and this was the one that we left off on. You had several weeks to work on this one. By the way, the memory verse that we give out this week, you have a couple weeks to work on that because Brother Neil will be doing Sunday school next week as well. So, amen. All right, here we go. Titus 2:12. Everybody there? Here we go. Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:12. Father, we do thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord, and pray that you would help us now to glean a blessing from this area of being a living sacrifice. Speak to us, Lord, like only you can through the Holy Spirit's power. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So that was your memory verse there. Let's go back over and give you a review as to where we're at in the book so we can finish out this last portion. So Roman numeral 1, dealing with the category or the title is the total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. So we want to make sure that if we're going to be satisfied in this life, then we've got to give total sacrifice. Amen. So sacrifice equals satisfaction. Roman numeral 1 was the meaning of being a living sacrifice or what a living sacrifice means. The meaning of being a living sacrifice. And what does that mean? We have to present. Yes, ma'am? Oh, Roman numeral 1.
Of what?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Page 6.
Page 6. I'm sorry. Page 6. Amen. Hey, sister, I've been there before. Amen. Some of those Bible conferences they were preaching, I'm like, where in the world are they at? Amen. And he's just going and shucking the corner. I'm thinking, I don't know where you're at. I see other people looking like, where is he at? Like, none of us knew where he was at because he said one thing, we went someplace else. Amen. All right, so the meaning of being a living sacrifice, Roman numeral 1, page 6. And what a living sacrifice means, and that is to present ourselves alive to God for his use. And that's the meaning. Present ourselves alive to God for his use. Amen. That's it. And so the meaning of being a living sacrifice, and we saw A, the living part of it, and B, the sacrifice part of it. And then Roman numeral 2, the motivation of being a living sacrifice, or why we do it, our motivation, the motivation of being a living sacrifice. And the motivation we found out was gratitude. A, what our motivation is not, it's not to be accepted because we're already accepted and beloved. It's not an obligation. We could never pay God back, but it is because of gratitude. B, what our motivation is, and of course, our gratitude. Gratitude. Then Roman numeral 3 is where we're going to be at today. How do we do it? The method of being a living sacrifice. the method of being a living sacrifice. Now, it's easy. It's pretty much easy to be a living sacrifice. You just yield yourself to God, but it's easier said than done. Amen. The method of being a living sacrifice, how we do it. So how exactly do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice? So let me ask you this question. If you were going to give something to someone else to use, how would you do it? You're going to give someone something to use, how would you do it? Tamara? Show them how to use it, okay. Anything else? You're going to give someone something to use. Beth? Make sure it's usable. You don't want to give them something broken, amen. And if it is broken, you want to point out what is broken so they don't push that wrong button and snap their finger, amen. Yes, ma'am?
Give it with the right heart. Don't expect anything back.
Give it with the right heart. Don't expect anything back, amen. That is true. What else? If we're going to give someone something to use, we're going to sacrifice. Say, I'm going to sacrifice here, and this is for you. How are we going to do that? Make sure it's in good condition. That's true. That's true. Now, by the way, how many of us were in good condition when we came to the Lord? I mean, now I'm not talking about sin. Yeah, we know that part. But physically, how many of us were in good condition when we came up? Now, if you were a child, you were probably in good condition when you were a child. I got saved when I was 27. I thought I was in pretty good condition. You know, I stood in the mirror and did like this and pose. Had a something packed there. And I thought I was pretty good looking. My son looked at my younger picture and saw my older picture and he'd think, what happened? And I said, time is what happened. Amen. So if you're going to give someone something to use, how would you do it? Because the Bible says, present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Amen. So how do we exactly present our bodies a living sacrifice? Doing so basically means that we surrender our lives to the Lord. We say, here am I, use me. Mm-hmm. Now, if we say that, do we have strings attached? Should we have strings attached? So if I say, here am I, Lord, use me, and he says, go to Africa, what should we say? Okay. He says, here am I, Lord, go back to Joliet, Illinois, Barbara, what should I say? Barbara's looking at me like, oh, I don't know about that one. I'm from Joliet. Here am I, Lord. He says, go to New Brunswick, New Jersey. Where should I go? He tells Brother Hall to go back to, where are you from, brother? Oak City, North Carolina. Where should Brother Hall go?
Oak City.
He tells Brother Holler, go back to Nogales and set up camp. Where should Brother Holler go? Brother Howard said, stay here. No. He said, get that boat that Jonah got on. Amen. You know, if we present our bodies, we should do what he says. You know, it really burned my heart when Steve Bruner came to me a couple years ago and said, well, God's calling me to California. If God called him to California, where should he go?
California.
The best place for us to be is in the will of God. The worst place for us to be is out of the will of God. Amen. Now, I pray God doesn't call me to Joliet, Illinois. I pray he doesn't. Amen. But if he does, guess where I got to go? Should I be happy about that? You know what happened to Jonah, right?
Yeah.
How many want to be like Jonah? I don't. I don't want that at all. So, being a living sacrifice, the method of being a living sacrifice, basically what it is, and I'll give you this word. How many of y'all have heard the term rededication? Mm-hmm. What comes to your mind when you think of rededication? What was that? You fell off, amen. And so what am I doing with rededication? Get back to at least where I was at. Jerry?
I was going to say rededicate yourself to where you were.
Rededicate to where I was at. Any other definition? Rededication. What comes to your mind? Rededication. We normally dedicate children, right, at a young age. And we're saying we want this child to get in the pathway of God and walk for God. But later on in their life, when they get saved, they end up having to rededicate themselves when they get saved. But the short term of the method of being a living sacrifice is a rededication. So what are the implications of surrendering our life to Christ? And what's the difference between rededication and salvation? What's the difference between rededication and salvation? They're similar, but they're different. What would be the difference between rededication and salvation? Andrew? Okay, amen. And that's excellent, amen. Ms. Smith? Amen, amen. Good, good. Anything else? Difference? Tasha? Amen. Amen. Good. All good definitions. Anybody else got another one? Different. Yes, Steve? Amen. And all these are good. The equivalent of trying to be born again would be saying a child saying, "Mom, can I go back in your womb and be born again?" How foolish does that sound? And not only is it foolish, it's impossible.
Yes, sir, it is.
And so no one can be born again after they've been born again.
That's right.
It's a one-time deal, as several of you said, it's a one-time deal. Rededication, now, if the child now is born from the parent and the child has done something against the parent, that child can go back over and over again and get themselves in a right relationship with the parent. Okay? And so that would be the difference. Give you this here. In salvation, what we're saying is, I can't save myself from sin's penalty. Salvation is that I can't save myself from sin's penalty. Go over to Ephesians 2, 8, 9 here. So this is not a rededication. Folks say, well, I want to rededicate my life. First of all, they need to get saved.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians chapter 2. And most of us can quote verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And notice this. And that what? Not of yourselves. So in other words, I can't save myself from sin's penalty. That's not of me. I can't do that. It's not my grace. It's not my mercy. It's God's mercy and God's grace that I'm counting on. So he says, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. So it's something that God wants to give me. So salvation is different, okay? It's saying I can't save myself from sin's penalty. Rededication then, think about this. Salvation then is coming to God saying, okay, here am I. God forgives me and takes me as his child, okay? Rededication then is saying this. It's not saying I can't save myself from sin's penalty because that's already been done. It's saying I can't direct myself according to God's word. Can we direct ourselves according to God's word? No.
No, we can't.
No. What does it take? It takes God's power.
Yes, it does.
We have to just yield ourselves, almost like a puppet. Leave the puppet to itself, what will it do? Nothing. Leave us to ourselves, what will we do for God?
Nothing.
We will do what most kids want to do. What we want to do.
Yes, sir.
And we'll pick and choose through the Bible like it's a smorgasbord menu. Be kind to others. Okay, I like that one. Oh, go to Africa. I don't like that one. Oh, let's see here. Do unto others as they have you. Yeah, I want people to be nice to me. Okay, that's good. Love your enemies, man. I got some enemies. No, I can't do that. Nah. And that's how we would do it.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
So getting saved says I can't save myself from sin's penalty. Rededication is that I can't direct myself according to God's word. Go over to Jeremiah 17:9. Many of us can quote this one as well. Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. So rededication is different than salvation. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. Jeremiah 17:9. And notice what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is what? Deceitful above what?
All things.
There is nothing more deceitful than our heart. Wow. That's pretty massive. Think about it. In the quiet of your own heart, what do you think about? And you, if you agree with me, sometimes it's pretty wicked, isn't it? I mean, we think about getting back at people, tripping them up, doing things to them. And then God has to arrest us and say, you know, that's not right.
Yes, sir.
We think of things that we know we had no business thinking about back when in yesteryear. And God has to arrest us and say, yeah, just stop thinking like that. But left to our own, our hearts are deceitful. It'll go down a path of deceit. And it'll say, there's nothing wrong with thinking like that. Everybody thinks like that. And you know what? The word of God comes back and says, everybody that's wicked. And then we have to agree with God that he is right and we're wrong. Amen. I'm the preacher and I know the devil, he gets me going and I'll start thinking some bad thoughts and God says, what are you doing thinking about that? Well, the devil, he made me do it. Yeah, don't blame it on the devil. The heart is deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. Not just a little wicked. What do desperate people do? Desperate things, amen. They'll go to any length. Think about it. If you're desperate for water, if you're desperate for food, oh, yeah, if you're desperate, yes, for whatever,
oh, yeah,
you'll do a little bit of everything.
Yes,
if you're desperate to get good grades in school, you know, some will cheat. You know, if you're desperate for this or you're desperate for,
yes,
that.
Exactly.
Desperately wicked, who can know it? But I'm so glad that God knows it. So rededication says, I can't direct myself according to God's word. Now, of course, Isaiah 53:6 says it this way. All we like sheep have what?
Gone astray.
We've turned where? Everyone to his own way. By the way, if I go my own way, it would be bad for me.
Yes, sir, it would, Pastor.
If you go your own way, it would be bad for you.
That's right.
Where would you go? If you went your own way, be honest, to do what you want to do.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
If I went my own way this morning, you know where I'd be right now? Yes. In bed.
In bed, yes, sir.
My pillow was crying when I got up. My covers were sad when I departed from them. They said, how are we going to stay warm? And I thought, I was thinking the same thing. My pillow said, who's going to squash against us? I said, I was thinking the same thing.
Yes, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Then I got up and got some coffee and I said, okay, it's not so bad now. I can face it. Then I sat down my Bible. How did I ever doubt getting up? It's so good to be with God now. But my own way, when I first woke up and the alarm clock went off, you know what I did? I looked at it. And I thought, it can't be 5 o'clock already. I think I just laid down 5 minutes ago. I think I did. And my wife said, honey, what time is it? I said, 5 o'clock. And we both kind of just looked at it in the dark. And I've got one of those annoying alarms.
Oh, bang, bang, bang.
If you don't turn it off, it wakes everybody up in the house.
My goodness.
And so if I went my own way this morning, I would have stayed in the bed. All right. So Isaiah says down here, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Okay. And let's show you the primary area in Romans chapter 7 of this, of why rededication is not salvation. Salvation says, I can't save myself from sin's penalty. Rededication says, I can't direct myself according to God's word. Romans 7. How many would agree that Paul was a pretty spiritual man? Amen.
Yes,
over in Romans chapter 7, he talks about his spiritual struggle with sin. Romans chapter 7. Now, by the way, if Paul struggled with sin, what do you think is going to happen to us?
We're going to struggle with it.
Romans chapter 7. Let's pick it up down here because he's talking about how good the law is and how bad his flesh and his sin nature is. Pick it up in verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. Why? He says, for to will is present with me. I want to do it. But how to perform that which is good, I find out. To will is present with me. How many of y'all had the will to hear the alarm clock this morning? Everybody heard it, right? That was your own free will. For to will is present with me. I wanted to get up. But now how to perform that which is good, I find out. But guess what? I didn't just spring out of bed and say, I'm going to church today. Yeah. I did like you. I looked at the alarm clock and thought, you wicked thing, you.
There you go, Pastor.
How dare you wake me up out of my good sleep?
There you go.
The will was there, but to perform that which I need to do, I couldn't find that. What got me up? What got me out of bed? What got you out of bed? Tasha said, dog had to go for a walk. What got you out of bed this morning? I knew that if I didn't get up, I couldn't do what I knew I needed to do. I need to get into the Word of God and get a hold of God. I need to go look over my notes for today. I need to make sure everybody's getting dressed and things like that. I need to make sure I get to church. I need to make sure I'm in Sunday school.
Yes, sir.
That's what got me up. Uh-huh. If I didn't have that laid before me, guess what I would not have done this morning? I wouldn't have got up. What's going to get you up tomorrow?
Yeah.
The fact that you know you've got to go to work.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Or you've got to do something tomorrow. Or Steve Bruner gets to drive the red Camaro tomorrow. Is it red or is it black? Oh, they got rid of it. Oh, my son's going to be heartbroken.
Amen.
Steve Bruner drove up in a Camaro. The boys drooled.
Whoa,
look at what he has.
Baby.
What gets us up? It's the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir,
so Paul said, you know, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. Notice that. He said, the good things that I would do, he said, I don't do those. He said, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, the evil, which the stuff that I don't want to do, I do that. He said, now if I do that which I would not, it's no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth where? In me. He said, it's really not me. It's the sin nature in me. He says, as a result, verse 21, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I want to do right, I got the sin nature battling against me. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He said, what's in me? The Spirit of God wants to do right. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. He said, there's something else going on and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with mine, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, my mind and my spirit want to do what's right, but my flesh is under this law of sin. So I must sacrifice my body and say, you are dead, self. God, here I am as a living sacrifice. You use me. Why? I can't do it by myself. I can't do it. So he says, my flesh wants to follow the law of sin. I've got to say, you're dead to that law, but you're alive unto God. Here I am. I'm a sacrifice, Lord. I can't direct myself according to your word, but you can use me, direct me, teach me. And so he can do that. So if Paul struggled, we can. So let's talk about this just very, very briefly here. A, it's a specific event. Method of being a living sacrifice. A, it's a specific event. This is something specific that you do. A specific event. What comes before rededication? Salvation. I've got to be saved first. It's a specific event. Salvation comes first. By the way, if you did not write down your salvation date, it is a good idea to do so. It is a good idea to write down, if not the date, the month, or the year, or the surroundings in which it happened. Why is that a good thing? Jerry?
It helps you to remember, because
sometimes we might forget. Amen. So it's good to have that date written down. So we've got to, number one, have our salvation date. Then number two, you want to have your surrender date. Now, the question is, if being saved is a one-time event, how many rededication days might I have? Probably many. I bought my old Bible for a reason here. I've got some decisions that me and my wife made in here, some surrender dates, if you would, because the method of being a living sacrifice, it's a specific event. Amen. And so you and I should go back to our salvation date and have that thing nailed down. Know when I'm saved, remember it, put it down. Amen. Know the month, the day, something about that time, or at least be able to close your eyes and see yourself getting biblically saved. Not baptized, not joining a church, not speaking in tongues, not a rededication or turning over a new leaf, but a repentance of sin, seeing yourself before God as a sinner, knowing that hell is the destination for unrepentant sinners, asking God to forgive me of my sin and to save me. And that is your salvation date when that happened. Okay. And so let me give you some dates that I wrote down in the front of my Bible here. because salvation date has to come first. And I got saved February 3rd, 1991. Get the rest in front of this Bible here. Amen. All right, so surrender dates. What can we write in our Bibles of surrender? Okay, I wrote down 3 February, saved, 1991. Another surrender date, I got baptized the 21st of April, 1991. By the way, baptism is a surrender as well. What is it saying when I get baptized?
You're publicly acknowledging that you've accepted Jesus Christ into your
life. Exactly. Publicly acknowledging that I've accepted Christ. The old man is what?
Dead
and buried. The new man is what? Raised to walk in newness of life. That's a surrender. I'm saying, God, I want to follow you. The man that I used to be, Gregory Dawson that I used to be, is dead and buried. The new Gregory wants to obey you. And I want everybody to see it. I want everybody to know. That's what baptism does. Okay. And so I've got that date down there as February. You say, why didn't you get baptized right away? The baptistry was broke, so I couldn't. Amen. And so we had to go down to a swimming pool and get baptized. Amen. Another date I've got down here is 1994 in September. I surrendered to preach. 1994, I surrendered to preach. It was after a revival meeting on a Friday night. 9 September 1994, I surrendered to preach. Here's another one I wrote down. And this was a surrender that me and my wife made. 1997, we surrendered to our children's Christian education, whether it was homeschool or whether it was in a Christian school. We didn't have our first child until 2004, but this commitment was made in 1997. Now, I know my wife remembers, but we were actually riding bikes and we were talking about raising children. We didn't have any, but we said, hey, look, when we get kids, let's make sure that we raise them in a Christian environment. Let's make sure they're either going to be homeschooled or in a Christian school if God gives us the ability. And we got off the bikes right there on the canal, and we prayed right there on that spot. I went right home and wrote it down in my Bible. I said, as of today, if God gives us children, we're going to raise them in a Christian home. Either you're going to homeschool them, or we're going to find a Christian school to send them to. We are not going to send them to public school, period. And we made that commitment back in 1997, and I wrote it down. What was that? That was a dedication that we made. We said, look, we're surrendering our children to be raised in a Christian environment. And we made that decision in 1997. Give you a couple more. In 1998, I was selected as a deacon, and I put that down here. That was a surrendering that I had. I said, I'm going to accept this. Brother Hall, I fought it tooth and nail. I said, I don't have to be a deacon to serve God. I'm going to serve God whether I'm a deacon or it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve God. I said, I don't really need to be a deacon. I just want to serve God. And my pastor wanted me to be a deacon. I said, okay, amen. I'll be a deacon. And we were actually the first deacons of the church. Let's see here. Another one I've got down here. Surrendered to pastor the Shining Light Baptist Church September 30th, 2001. Actually, I surrendered before that, but that was my first pastorate. I was ordained as a gospel preacher January 2002. These are all things that I surrendered to. And I've got several others as well. What am I saying here? These are things that I have written down that were monumental surrendering spots in my life where I said, this is what, God, I'm going to allow you to do with my life. Now, should we totally surrender our entire life to God? Yes, we should. But then it's going to be things that God says specifically, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Will you surrender? He wants your total surrender first. Then he's going to start saying, okay, now do this with your life. 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 And guess what we shouldn't say? We shouldn't say no. Why shouldn't we say no? We should be in the will of God. And what have I already said at baptism? I want to follow you, Lord. Now, how do I discern what is God's will and what is my will? How do I discern what's God's will and what's my will?
Put it in prayer immediately.
Put it in prayer immediately. That's one thing. How do I discern what's God's will and what's my will? Brother Hall?
Use the word of God.
Anybody else? How did I discern? What's God's will? I'm surrendered, but how do I know that what he's asking me to do, I should do that?
Counseling?
Counseling with godly people? Amen. How can I know? By the way, Brother Neil, I don't know about you, but I couldn't get away from the call to preach. I said, look, I don't want to be mama called and papa sent. So anybody that mentioned to me, are you a preacher? I dismissed it with a capital D. No, especially if you said it. I want to be God called. But guess who God calls to authenticate? God uses to authenticate his call on preachers. Other godly people. Other godly men. Why? They see something oftentimes. Am I right, Brother Neil? Oftentimes they see something in the individual. And so I ran from that for the longest, but I could not run. I was not satisfied just being the best Christian I could be. I wanted more. I said, Lord, I'm tithing. I'm giving to missions. I'm soul winning. I'm winning souls. I'm doing all these things. But yet there's something missing. There's just something more that you want, but I don't know what it is. And God said, I want you to preach. I said, no, that's not it. It's got to be something else. And so oftentimes there's counsel, there's prayer, there's the word of God, and God is going to lead. Oftentimes if God wants you to do something, you can't get away from it. You're going to think about it over and over and over and over. Before I got saved, guess what I thought about over and over and over again? Getting saved.
Yes, sir.
I thought about going to hell over and over and over again until guess what happened finally? I went to church, and guess what I heard? The gospel, and guess what I got? Saved. So when it comes to this method of being a living sacrifice, it's a specific event. You should be able to point to a time when you surrender totally, but then God begins to give you certain things that you do. My wife and I had also made a commitment that if we had children, we're going to give our children to the Lord. Again, why is it important to write down good decisions that we make when we surrender to God? Why is it important to write those down?
So remember them.
Remember them. Yes, ma'am. Why else? Tamara? Hold you accountable. I can look back February 3rd, 1991. I did make a decision to get saved. Devil says, oh, you're not saved. And what can I say? February 3rd, 1991, I remember the day.
Yes, sir.
I can close my eyes and see myself bowing my head and asking to be saved, devil. So go somewhere, get lost. All right. Writing it down. It keeps you accountable. It helps you remember. It's good to have a date and the event. By the way, do you have a birth certificate? Didn't have a date on it?
Yes, it does.
How many of y'all got wedding certificates? Didn't have a date on it? Tasha's shaking her head. Amen. Wedding certificate has a date on it. Birth certificate has a date on it. Mm-hmm. By the way, the day this church was given to us has a date on it.
Yes, sir, it does.
Amen. And so decisions that are monumental have dates on them. The day you bought your car, it's got a date on it.
Yes,
the day you bought your house, it's got a date on it. Mm-hmm. The day your children were born, it's got a date on it.
Yes, sir.
So the day I get saved and the days that I surrender, I should write them down because it holds me accountable. The second part of that, it's a significant event. You'll get many other decisions in your life, but the decisions to trust Christ is the most important. And then the others are all significant decisions in your life. There's two that I'm going to read that they use for an illustration here in the book here. They say a 20-year-old man goes to San Antonio, Texas. He will present and yield himself as a living sacrifice to his training instructor. How many of y'all did that in boot camp? Amen. The training instructor will tell him everything to do. This young man or woman will present his body a living sacrifice for the next 6 months or whatever time duration it is as a U.S. airman in training boot camp. Another illustration they give you. A young lady in a beautiful white dress, I'll use my wife, walks down into an altar. When she comes to the altar, she stands with a young man that she absolutely loved. That's why I said that. The two will make a commitment and a covenant with each other and with God. Notice that, a commitment with each other and a covenant with God to give themselves to each other, to they say for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, and sickness and health, till death do they part. That's a commitment. That's a monumental decision. That is a commitment that I said, I'm giving myself to you. And she said, I'm giving myself to you. When I joined the military, I said, I'm giving myself to my government to be used to go and defend my country. Wherever they send me, wherever they say, I'm going to go. I'm not going to say no. And guess what I have to do? I got to go.
Yes, sir.
My wife says go. Guess what I got to do? I got to go.
Second, Pastor.
I'm picking at my wife. In both of these scenarios, those involved make a commitment. This is a commitment that changes their lives forever. I will ever more be called a veteran. I will ever more be called married. Now, no matter if I die, guess what I was? Married. If I die, guess what I was? A veteran. It's not going to change that. Why? It's a decision. Okay? So the commitment that we make, we don't forget. Let me read what they say here. When we as Christians make the commitment to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that single decision will impact us for the rest of our lives. When Satan tries to distract you or tempt you, you can go back to that day that you surrendered your life to the Lord. And although Satan is powerful and he will try to get you off course, God is more powerful and he will strengthen you. Amen. Next week, we're going to go over several promises. Y'all got the verses there, Deuteronomy 31:6 and Hebrews 13:5, those verses there. Everybody got those in your books?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And does it say anything over Deuteronomy 31:6?
Yeah.
The Lord will be with you the whole time? Does it say that?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't say that?
Not
in your book. Okay, so we'll go over those points next week then. Amen. Because there's some promises that we want to claim after we surrender our life to the Lord to help us stay with our commitment that we're going to talk about next week. But the main thing is when you're looking at how do we give ourselves a living sacrifice. The method, it's a specific event. I must be saved, but then it's a significant event as well. We've got to make sure that we document that down and have it in our mind. Salvation comes first, surrender comes second, and we surrender to whatever God wants us to do. And then when we surrender, by the way, God never makes a mistake. He will take your life and he will use it for his glory and his honor. Amen. Now, will you benefit in the process? Yes. Yes. But oftentimes it's not going to be what you want to do. Amen. I didn't want to start this church when I started it. I didn't actually want to come to Tucson.
There you go.
But guess what? I'm excited to be here. I'm happy to be here. I love being here. I couldn't wait to get back here. Me and mosquitoes don't go together. But in the will of God, God does marvelous things to your heart. I went back to college my junior year, and my wife and I were to be wed. In my sophomore year, I didn't know I was going to get married. My freshman year, I had signed off ladies altogether. I was going to be a bachelor and get me a sports car.
Oh,
Camaro, Brother Bruner. Amen.
Whoa, there you go. There you go, Pastor.
But then I met the one that God had already preordained that I was going to meet and was going to change my mind. Mm-hmm. I thought that there was no one on this earth that had to change my that could change my mind. And if they did, they were going to go by my list of 30 things that I had down. And if they meet these 30 things, which was virtually impossible, Brother Hall, then I get married. But not until she fit all 30. Guess what I said? Okay, Lord. I surrender all. I don't get a sports car. I'll drive a minivan and have 5 kids. Okay, didn't quite work out that way, man. But you get the point.
Yes,
when God changes your mind, he changes it for his good and for his glory. Amen. And we get a blessing out of that. Let me give you a memory verse here. James 4:7 is going to be a memory verse in your book there. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7 is going to be our memory verse. Again, Brother Neil's got Sunday school next week, but we'll do this the first Sunday in August. Amen. James 4:7. Again, the method of being a living sacrifice, Roman 3, and then it's a specific event, and then it's a significant event. Let's make sure we document the times of surrender, making sure salvation comes first, surrender comes second. All right, Titus 4:7. Amen. All right, refreshments are crossed away.
James.
What did I say?
Titus. You meant James.
James 4, 7. Yes, I'm sorry if I confuse you. James 4, 7 is your verse. Go to Brother Duffy. He'll tell you the right one. Ma'am?
How many weeks?
You'll have 2 weeks to do it. 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yes, ma'am. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll trust God to bless the refreshments in our lives. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to have salvation first and foremost, Lord. And we know that that's something that we can't do ourselves, Lord, but it is something that you must do. And we're saying, I can't save myself from sin's penalty. But then, Lord, thank you that we can, Lord, to surrender our lives because we know that we can't direct ourselves according to your word. Lord, that's going to have to be something that you do when you lay those things upon our hearts. Help us to document it and then trust you with our surrender that you would guide and direct our path according to your word. Then help us to follow it, Lord, because we know our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Help us with our memory verse in James, Lord, that we may submit ourselves to you. And we thank you for the refreshments next door. Bless them, Lord, and use them to nourish our bodies, give us strength, get into the morning service. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed.